time. A simple routine can help prevent a tragedy. More information about preventing hot car deaths is available at www.nhtsa.gov.
You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your...
Good evening, Suncoast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran, and thank you so much for joining us today. Before we start with today's program, I want to bring to your attention an important socialist summer school class that will be taking place this month. This class is titled People versus Billionaires in the Fight for the Future. As we know, the system has reached a breaking point. Elon Musk has become the world's first billionaire, a reality that is impossible to grasp as millions of people are struggling simply to survive. This year, capitalism's destructive deadened logic has been on full display, from Trump's escalating assaults on Cuba and Venezuela to his losing the war in Iran, all paid by working class families across the world who are already drowning in a worsening cost of living. But this year, we've also seen the general strike movement resurge for the first time in decades, communities stand up in defense of immigrant families all across the country in the face of ICE terror, and openly socialist candidates sweeping elections across New York City, which is really the center of global capitalism. These are not anomalies, but the direct result of a system in crisis that is forcing a rising tide in consciousness within the belly of the beast as people look for an alternative against the existential threat of capitalism. That alternative is socialism, and people are ready for it. And we have at our disposal all the means for making it an immediate actuality. But how, you may ask, how do we assess and learn from the movements of the past in all its defeats and victories to build the future right now? Just like the ruling class has its tools to maintain its power, we have our own to organize and to fight back. This class, The People versus Millionaire, will discuss how we arrive at this moment, where we are going, and the strategies necessary to take on the billionaire class to win a better world once and for all. Socialist Summer School at the People's Forum, The People versus Billionaires, like I mentioned, is a five-week hybrid course that brings together organizers, activists, and anyone who is committed to building a better future. More than its class, the program is a call to action. How do we understand our current context, define our future, and take steps to get there? Through this bi-weekly class session, discussion, and collective study, participants will strengthen their ability to analyze history and current events, study the lessons of revolutionary working class movements, and clarify a collective vision for the future. Whether you are new to organizing or already involved in an organization, the course is a space to meet new friends and organizers, study, discuss, and chart a path forward. This class is welcome to everyone of all places, backgrounds, and identities. You do have to register with the People's Forum if you would like, but no organizing experience is required to join the course. If you have taken a course, or if you've never taken one of those courses, the class is open for you. This class started at the People's Forum just yesterday, July 21st, and it's going to go through August 20. The sessions are held twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But in addition to them being hybrid, meaning online, you also have the opportunity to join the local class right here, which will be held by our comrades with the PSL. PSL Tampa Bay will be hosting weekly in-person study hubs alongside the class at the People's Forum. The in-person discussions will take place over the weekend in Tampa, St. Petersburg, and Bradenton. The times and location are yet to be announced. You can register for these weekly study hubs at bit.ly/TPA Socially Summer. That site again is bit.ly/TPA Socially Summer. And like I mentioned, you can also join us on a weekly basis for the class recap during our first 30 minutes, but also for our entire show, which will be an hour long. I am very excited about this class, and I look forward to learning more how we as the people can join together to create a better world.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your
right. Our second update is how the Trump administration is looking to criminalize dissent by labeling left-wing groups and people on the left as terrorists. I was going to tell you a little bit more about this, but I was able to find a really nice clip on social media by our comrade, Anarchy Love. So let's go ahead and listen in to this summary of what the Trump administration is trying to do.
What's coming down the line by connecting some dots so that you can be prepared? A pro-Palestine activist was arrested in Spain. He's a U.S. citizen at the behest of the U.S. government on allegations that he provided material support to terrorism. It's going to be a little bit longer. Please stay with me. You need to see the entire picture here. On Thursday, Stephen Miller and Marco Rubio gave talks at the State Department announcing their intention to label left-wing groups as foreign terrorist organizations.
NSPM 7, to be exact. But it directs, for the first time in American history, all of our law enforcement and intelligence agencies to work together to disrupt, identify, defund, debank, arrest, and prosecute these political terrorists.
Last November, the State Department designated four violent, far-left extremist groups as foreign terrorist organizations. And there will be more designations soon.
This push to associate left-wing ideology with terrorism started in earnest with the NSPM 7 memo, which was signed 2 weeks after Kirk's shooting. NSPM 7 directed federal agencies to investigate people and organizations for their, quote, anti-fascist, anti-American, anti-Christian, and extreme agenda ideology. We are now witnessing the escalating consequences of this directive. The Prairie Land defendants faced terrorism charges and were sentenced to between 30 and 100 years in prison. The case was based on their loose association through an anarchist book club and their possession of left-wing zines. A new federal task force was created specifically to prosecute NSPM 7s. It's called Task Force Vanguard. They indicted 15 Minneapolis activists in June on conspiracy charges, citing that they were part of an Antifa cell. Also in June, TF Vanguard charged two Atlanta-area Cop City activists with arson for their protest actions in 2022, again citing Antifa. Pro-Palestinian activist Fergie Chambers was arrested on the 14th in Spain at the request of the U.S. He is now awaiting extradition. Chambers is an heir to the multi-billion dollar Cox family fortune, and he has used his inheritance to support pro-Palestine movement for years. The charges against Chambers are based on material support for Hamas, which is a designated foreign terrorist organization. Chambers supporters report that his donations have gone toward humanitarian aid. This is why Rubio and Miller announced that they're going to be designating more left-wing groups as FTOs. An FTO is a specific designation. Domestic terrorists means nothing under the law, but the Patriot Act granted the government sweeping powers to go after FTOs without ever presenting evidence in a court of law. Sebastian Gorka, Trump's counterterrorism czar, said that all leftist groups are part of some huge network and are active participants in terrorism. With the terrorism laws that we have, they don't even need to charge you with a crime to ruin your life. They can merely accuse you of providing material support to terrorists and then sanction you and cut you completely off from banking. In May, the Treasury Department imposed sanctions on four pro-Palestine activists who participated in the Global Samud Flotilla. The sanctions came after the U.S. designated two pro-Palestine groups as specially designated global terrorists. In May, the Justice Department announced that they were seeking to strip citizenship from 12 naturalized U.S. citizens. Quote, quote, providing material support to a terrorist group was one of the reasons given by the DOJ for stripping these U.S. citizens of their citizenship. That's what this regime wants to do to people that hold left-wing ideology. We imprisoned 780 people in Guantanamo Bay without charge, merely on the accusation that they were terrorists or provided material support for terrorists, including a U.S. citizen. He was held by the U.S. for 3 years. His case made it all the way to the Supreme Court, which said you can't hold U.S. citizens in Gitmo indefinitely without charge. In 2004, he was released to Saudi Arabia with no charges, but only after he agreed to renounce his U.S. citizenship. The average time that detainees were held at Gitmo without any due process were 7.5 years. Their goal is to use ICE, their masked secret police, to round up opponents of the regime and imprison them inside the ICE camps without charge and without due process. The 288 men sent to CECOT last March was a test run. Remember, at the time, Trump kept saying that he wanted to send the homegrowns there next.
I want homegrowns are next. The homegrowns built. You got to build about 5 more places.
Yeah, that's fair. All right.
Bukele, who proudly brands himself as the world's coolest dictator, has imprisoned nearly 3% of the entire male adult population in El Salvador. That is the model that Trump wants to emulate. CECOT is famous for their phrase that no one leaves here alive. I am pleading for the American people to wake up to what is happening. The midterms will not save us. They're trying to subvert the democratic process in broad daylight. And I think these latest ICE escalations were ordered in order to provoke violence from the population. All of this is going to culminate in a brutal, violent, authoritarian crackdown around the midterms as the Trump regime attempts to cling to power. But remember this, a sword cuts both ways. We are not helpless. Every person that ICE murders galvanizes communities to come together and resist. The more they push, the more violent they become, the greater the resistance will grow. Our job is to educate and organize our community to talk about the root cause of all of this, which is white supremacy and capitalism. You've got to get plugged into a group like the Socialist Rifle Association, the John Brown Gun Club, PSL, DSA. You don't need to align 100% with the group's politics. The important thing is to join and to meet people. You could join ICE rapid response groups. You could go to city council meetings about data centers. You need to find people that you know personally that you can call upon to defend your community. You will be the ones that the broader public coalesces around as the anger against the police state bubbles over. And that's why they're going after left-wing organizations, because they know that their policies, their actions are going to cause material conditions to continue to deteriorate. They're going to cause more and more anger among the populace, and they want that anger to be diffuse and disorganized, because that's not a threat to their power. So remember, we have the numbers, we have the truth, we are on the right side of history, and we will win.
Hello. Wow, what an excellent recap of what our government is trying to do now by criminalizing dissent, by decriminalizing any opposition. Just so you know, in the press conference that was held last week, Marco Rubio even mentioned being anti-capitalist and being anti-imperialist as part of being terrorist. That's how broad the definition is going to be in an effort to grab people who stand in opposition to our government into this categorizing as terrorists in order to destroy their lives. Now, we all play a role here. This is where I need you to pay attention. Many people, including liberals and progressives, are easy to move. And this is what I mean when I say that. You hear that a group, allegedly, right, coming out of the Trump administration, which we know is a lie because they have lied thousands of times before, we hear that a certain group did X, Y, and Z, or that they do X, Y, and Z. And without having information, without any research, we go ahead and believe that, and we share it on social media. And you should know that anytime we do that, anytime we share the talking points from those that rule over us, which we call the ruling class, anytime we amplify their lies, we are helping the oppression of the groups that are being targeted. So our role as progressives, as people who care, as people of conscience in this world, it's going to be to stand up against these things. It's going to be to stay conscious, to not be easily manipulated, to be careful what, you know, be very aware and careful what you believe, particularly if you are pulling from information regarding our government. I'll give you a very local example of this is if you remember that the DeSantis administration already named several organizations as terrorist organizations during the last session. And this included CARE, the organization CARE, who we do have right here locally in Tampa. Now, we all know what CARE stands for. CARE is one of the biggest Muslim organizations in the entire country. It's similar to what the NAACP is for Black Americans, and also what LULAC is for Latino Americans. It's very similar to that. And we do know that they are not terrorists, that if anything, they are fighting for the liberation and, you know, to put a stop to the targeting of Muslim people by this administration and by previous administration, because we all remember what happened right after 9/11. I mean, you know, they have been targeting continuously regarding of who's in power. So to wrap up, just remember the role that you play here. Our role is to stay informed, to not be easily manipulated by our government, and definitely to never, ever amplify, you know, the voices of our government when they tell us that certain group is, you know, are terrorists, for example. One more thing I want to mention, it is my understanding that a list has already been released by our administration. My understanding is that DSA, Democrats Socialists of America, is listed there. Amy Goodman and Democracy Now, who we love, are also listed there. But what I will do is we're going to wait a little bit, look into that information, and then bring that information back to you on another show. Get up, stand up. ICE is quietly arresting more people than ever. After months of releasing no data at all, ICE's first detention report since April has shown that the agency is booking people into custody at a record level of 1,474 people a day. This is 1,474 people a day, the largest, fastest pace in the entire administration. 65,700 people were in ICE detention as of July 11th. This is just slightly down from the January all-time high, which reached 70,000 people. A dip from the peak is not really a rollback, and we know that detention has essentially plateaued at a level far above where it sat for most of the past decade, and it is holding up rather than failing. We know that people without criminal records actually compose the majority, the bulk, of the people that are in immigration detention. And locally right here in the Sarasota, Minnesota, Tampa Bay area, we have seen a large number of arrests. I will be bringing more information about this to you in the next week or so as we are looking into the cases, including the cases of people who are documented. I mean, we have one case of someone who has been here for 10 years on asylum, approved, has gone to all of their immigration appointments. There have been no issues at all. And she was traveling for work when she was detained at the airport. And now she has been in custody for an entire week. The family is trying to get an attorney to schedule a motion so that she can have a bond hearing. However, she has not been charged with anything. And therefore, a motion for a bond hearing cannot be submitted. We will bring you more on that as we go along. These arrests, just so you know, are outpacing deportations. Removals ran around 1,200 a day from April to July, which is down from 1,370 that it was the number in February. But arrests are climbing while the daily deportation rates drift lower. So more people are entering the detention system than those that who are leaving through removal. And like I mentioned, most detainees have no criminal records. About 65% of them have absolutely no criminal record at all. Courts are also ordering more releases. Court order releases did not exist in ICE data a year ago, but they have climbed to about 2,000 a month and now make up roughly 1/4 of all deportation releases, which is actually really good news. I mean, I remember months ago we were not able to get, you know, almost no one out of detention. When people leave detention without being removed, a judge is increasingly the reason for that. Now, we track this data. We are keeping an eye on this data. So we ask you to please stay aware of what is happening so that you are not fooled, but also so that you can assist and help our community members that are under attack right now. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Now, we know that even if ICE terror can be stopped, it can also be restarted at any moment, which is what we are witnessing. If you remember, after the murder of Pretty and Goodman, after the main person got removed and it kind of looked like the attacks were going to be paused. However, these were restarted. Like I mentioned, they can be restarted at any moment. So it's up to the working class to end it and to end it for good. In the last 2 weeks, three immigrant workers have been killed. This is Lorenzo Salgado Araujo in Houston. We also have Joan Sebastian Guerrero in Bedford, Minnesota. And I hope that by now you do know about the guy that was killed in San Agustin, Florida. They say that he was fleeing ICE. But actually, he ended up being just a tourist who was here with a visa, and he had a plane ticket back home. So there was no reason for, you know, the police and ICE to be hunting him down as he was here legally. So we must be abundantly clear that these deaths were the deliberate policy choice by both the Trump administration and every single congressperson, Democrat or Republican, who voted for increased ICE funding. And we say, stop the killings. Over the 5 days at the end of June, ICE captured over 10,000 people. That is over 2,000 people per day, a number significantly higher than the peak of Operation Metro Search in Minnesota. Remember in January? At that point, I think we were seeing about 1,200 people being captured by ICE on a daily basis. And now this comes as Congress approves an additional $70 billion for the Department of Homeland Security and ICE in June, expanding the funding and resources available to the agency through the end of Trump's term. Let me remind you that we are in year 1.5 years after Trump came into power. So we still have 2.5 years to go. This appropriation of funds is more than triple what was in previous ICE budgets, and it goes to the Department of Homeland Security as a lump sum with very, very little oversight, and it must be spent before the end of 2029. So you know exactly what that means. There goes the resources that should be funding our communities. Now, in addition to ICE hiring more agents, a lot of this money is going into technology that will be used to surveil everyone inside the United States. And, you know, we know that these are contracts for AI surveillance giants like Palantir and Anduring, which, you know, their earnings have actually tripled since 2024. I mean, by over $500 million. We also know that Trump administration officials, they set the bar at 3,000 arrests per day. Do you remember that last year? And this number was later denied by the administration. But one thing is clear. The Department of Homeland Security is trying to make their violence look more quieter. And this is not a coincidence, you know. They know that every time there was a big murder or an arrest that makes it into something viral, people come out and escalate things. So they are trying to be more quiet. Now, this is an intentional strategy by the ruling class. Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen has vowed to conduct operation in a quieter and smarter way. That is, escalate the violence in a way that it avoids sparkling mass working class resistance. And this approach has come into contradiction with the White House, you know. After ICE murder of Joan Sebastian Guerrero in May on Monday, Homeland Security moved to pause traffic stops and enforcement, which was a clear attempt to turn down the temperature and quell potential mass outrage. But within hours, the White House, you know, counter demanded that the Homeland Security decision to be abandoned and to resume traffic stops. So tragically, yet predictably, ICE violence on the roads already has caused the death of a third worker, by this time the one in Florida. So we know that we have to abolish ICE, not reform it, but actually abolish. This move by the Department of Homeland Security and Trump's counterman proves that ICE terror can be stopped or restarted at any moment. That the question of traffic stops is even a point of contention between Homeland Security and the White House, and that is because of the mass movements in the streets demanding the abolition of ICE and full rights to all immigrants. The reality is that ICE terror cannot be blamed on Trump alone. ICE is a bipartisan machine that's built in the war on terror and expanded under Obama, the Trump administration, the first Trump administration, and Biden. So as long as this country is ruled by capitalists who want to make money from anything and everything, including the caging and the killing of people, the system will perpetrate this violence against workers no matter what country they are born in. ICE, Department of Homeland Security, Trump, and all those in power who facilitate the reign of terror will not get away with kidnapping, murdering, and destroying the lives of our people quietly. From Maine to Houston and all across this country, everyday people are livid at the injustices and brutality brought by ICE into our streets. We ask that you join any organization that is in your area that is fighting back. We ask that you join the class that I mentioned earlier, people over billionaires at the People's Forum. You can simply go on Google and put in the People's Forum summer class and you will be able to find that class. But if you are not able to do that, you can also join the classes, the weekly study hubs that will be held by PSL Tampa Bay on a weekly basis right here in Tampa, St. Petersburg, and also in Florida. And also stay tuned because during the next 5 weeks of our show, we will be discussing the classes. We will also be providing summary of what we learned throughout the week so that we can fight for a better future.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your...
Thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you again next week. And until then, I hope you find the courage to get up, stand up, and not give up the fight.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Looking for an affordable, creative, and comfortable venue for your next meeting, celebration, or networking event? Host it at Fogartyville. During the month of June, Sarasota's favorite listening room is undergoing major renovations to meet the needs of our community. It will reopen in mid-July with new bathrooms, new air conditioning, new tables and chairs, improved flooring, state-of-the-art audiovisual equipment, and more. For more information about rentals and to schedule a tour of Fogartyville, call 941-894-6469 and ask for Susan. Your event, our space. Hosted at Fogartyville.
Florida Division of Emergency Management and Sarasota County encourage you to begin home and business preparations now for any potential storms that may impact Florida during hurricane season. Hurricane season begins June 1st. Be prepared to create an evacuation plan, a communications plan, and a disaster kit that fits the specific needs of your household, including your pets. For more information and tips on hurricane preparedness, visit scgov.net/beprepared.